Good day, and welcome to the AMG Earnings Q1 2015 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Steve Daniels. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Welcome to AMG's first quarter 2015 earnings call. Joining me on this call are Dr. Heinz Schimmelbusch, the Chairman of the Management Board and Chief Executive Officer, Ms. Amy Yard, the Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Eric Jackson, the Chief Operating Officer. AMG's first quarter 2015 earnings press release issued this morning is on AMG's website. Today's call will begin with a review of the first quarter 2015 business highlights by Dr. Schimmelbusch. Ms. Yard will comment on AMG's financial results, and Mr. Jackson will discuss operations. At the completion of Mr. Jackson's remarks, Dr. Schimmelbusch will comment on the market and strategy. We will then open the call to take your questions. Before I pass the call to Dr. Schimmelbusch, I would like to read a statement concerning forward-looking statements. This conference call could contain forward-looking statements about AMG Advanced Metallurgical Group N.V. Forward-looking statements are not historical facts, but may include statements concerning AMG's plans, expectations, projections, objectives, targets, goals, strategies, future events, future revenues or performance, capital expenditures, financing needs, plans and intentions relating to acquisitions, AMG's competitive strengths and weaknesses, plans or goals relating to forecasted production, reserves, financial position, and future operations and development, AMG's strategy, and the trends AMG anticipates in the industries and the political and legal environment in which it operates, and other information that is not historical information. When used in this conference call, the words expects, believes, anticipates, plans, may, will, should, and similar expressions, and the negatives thereof, are intended to identify forward-looking statements. By their very nature, forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties, both general and specific, and risks that the predictions, forecasts, projections, and other forward-looking statements will not be achieved. These forward-looking statements speak only as of the date of the conference call. AMG expressly disclaims any obligations or undertakings to release publicly any updates or revisions to any forward-looking statements contained herein to reflect any change in AMG's expectations with regard thereto, or any changes in events, conditions, or circumstances on which any forward-looking statement is based. I will now pass the floor to Dr. Schimmelbusch, AMG's Chairman of the Management Board and Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Steve. During the first quarter 2015, AMG generated $257 million of revenue, $20.4 million of EBITDA, and $3.8 million of operating cash flow. Despite weakening metal prices and the unfavorable translation impact of foreign currency on reported earnings, first quarter 2015 EBITDA of $20.4 million was 2% higher than first quarter 2014. In addition, AMG achieved an annualized return on capital employed of 12.7% in the first quarter of 2015, compared to 9.7% in the first quarter of 2014. Net debt was reduced by $1 million during the first quarter 2015, from $87.8 million to $86.8 million. AMG Critical Materials EBITDA declined by 7% to $7.3 million in the first quarter 2015. The year-over-year deterioration was largely driven by unfavorable euro to US dollar exchange rate translation effects and weakening metal prices. AMG Engineering EBITDA improved to $3.1 million in the first quarter of 2015, the highest quarterly performance since the third quarter of 2013. As previously announced, AMG completed the sale of a 40% equity stake in AMG Graphit Kochfühl GmbH in the first quarter. This transaction will result in a substantial reduction of net debt in the second quarter of 2015. I would now like to pass the floor to Amy Yard, AMG's Chief Financial Officer. Amy?
Thank you, Heinz. The main headline for this quarter is clearly the impact of currency on the results. Considering the strong devaluation of the euro during the quarter, AMG had a good quarter, both financially and operationally. AMG's financial statements are prepared in U.S. dollars, so the fluctuations in the exchange rate between the U.S. dollar and other currencies, primarily the euro, has an effect on the results of operations and on the reported values in the balance sheet. To quantify, the appreciation of the U.S. dollar compared to the euro resulted in a translated reduction of $27 million in revenue and $2 million in EBITDA. AMG's critical materials first quarter 2015 revenue declined by $23.8 million, or 11%, compared to the first quarter of 2014, and gross profit declined by $2.4 million, or 7%, again driven largely by the strength of the U.S. dollar. Critical materials generated 42% of its revenue from Eurozone-based operating units in the first quarter of 2015, resulting in the translation-based difference. Gross margin percentage remained consistent despite pricing pressures in several businesses. To go into more details, AMG antimony sales volume increased by 12% during the quarter, but revenue was negatively impacted by lower sales prices. Despite pricing levels, antimony still managed to improve its gross margin due to higher value-added products. AMG superalloys also focused on higher value-added products, reducing its sales of lower margin products. The gross margin percentage for superalloys increased by 10% due to this portfolio optimization. AMG Aluminum delivered consistent year-over-year gross profit in the master alloys business, despite a reduction in sales volumes compared to the first quarter of 2014. The lower aluminum master alloys sales volumes relate primarily to the planned capacity reduction that occurred in Q2 2014. Ferrovanadium experienced a 22% increase in sales volume due to its production capacity improvements, albeit at lower prices. Margins were lower in AMG Vanadium due to yield as the business worked to find the best mix of raw materials in its expanded production process. AMG Engineering's first quarter 2015 revenue increased by 12% and gross profit decreased by 5%. The euro depreciation reduced revenues but had minimal impact on EBITDA. In the long term, the weak euro improves the competitiveness of our engineering business versus our non-European-based competitors. Gross margin declined quarter over quarter due to product mix and cost overruns. Higher revenues in AMG Engineering's capital goods business, combined with consistent revenues in the higher margin own and operate business, resulted in an overall reduction in gross margin compared to the same period in 2014. However, the larger impact on gross margin related to the near-term conclusion of a multi-year project that has experienced cost overruns as customer acceptance has been delayed. EBITDA improved by 104% as compared to the same period in 2014, despite the reduction in gross margin, primarily due to lower SG&A costs. In 2014, this segment experienced significant transaction-related costs that have not been incurred in 2015. In addition, personnel costs have declined due to the continued cost control efforts. AMG Engineering has started the process of streamlining its workforce, with additional reductions to occur in the remainder of 2015. The unit has also started to implement its new strategic purchasing process, which management believes will yield savings of approximately $3 million per annum. Due to timing, the savings from these actions are not reflected in the first quarter 2015 financial results. AMG Engineering signed $51.9 million in new orders during the quarter, generating a 0.95 times book-to-bill ratio. Order backlog as of March 31, 2015, was $116.4 million. Excluding the impact of currency, the backlog only decreased slightly from December 31st. Consolidated SG&A was $30.1 million in the first quarter of 2015, down from $35 million in the first quarter of 2014. The reduction was driven by foreign exchange effects due to the euro and euro to U.S. dollar exchange rate, lower employee costs due to cost-cutting initiatives, and a reduction in legal and professional fees. As previously discussed, legal and professional fees were reduced in 2015 due to lower transaction-related expenses. AMG incurred $1.7 million in non-recurring charges compared to $0.8 million in the first quarter of 2014. In line with AMG's stated strategy to divest peripheral non-core assets, AMG Critical Materials incurred restructuring expenses of $0.8 million during the quarter, primarily in relation to the divestment of MG India, a Delhi-based commodity trading business. AMG Engineering incurred $0.9 million of expenses during the quarter in relation to the previously announced restructuring activities, which will be completed by the end of 2015. Additional restructuring costs could be incurred as additional cost-cutting measures are implemented throughout the year. The effective tax rate for the first quarter of 2015 was 67% as compared to 49% in 2014. The higher-than-expected rate was primarily due to non-deductible expense and changes in composition of earnings among certain tax jurisdictions. AMG continues to employ a disciplined approach to capital spending. Capital spending decreased by 35% to $3.8 million in the first quarter of 2015. Maintenance capital spending for the first quarter was $2.1 million, or 55% of total. Discussed, total forecast CapEx spend for 2015 is expected to be in the range of $30 to $35 million. Increased maintenance spending and the planned graphite expansion, as contemplated by the 40% investment in this business, will contribute to the increase over 2014 levels. In terms of liquidity, AMG is in full compliance with all debt covenants as of March 31, 2015. Increased financial flexibility, accomplished through prior and current year debt reduction, remains one of our primary financial goals as we explore our options. The net debt position declined to $86.8 million as of March 31, 2015. The net debt to LTM EBITDA declined to 1.01 times. That concludes my remarks. I would now like to pass the floor to Eric Jackson, AMG's Chief Operating Officer.
Thank you, Amy. We continue to be highly focused on operational improvement with objectives to sustainably increase return on capital employed and maximize operating cash flow. Our improvement objectives focus on health and safety, productivity, cost reduction, and product mix optimization. This combined with disciplined management of price exposure resulted in significant increase in return on capital employed and improved operating performance in the first quarter. We also continued to effectively manage working capital. Working capital was at 28 days as of March 31st, 2015, down from 47 days at the end of the first quarter in 2014. In AMG Critical Materials, AMG Vanadium delivered solid operating results due to its recycling business model and low-cost structure, although first-quarter results were somewhat weaker than the first quarter 2014. The business experienced somewhat lower yields in the first quarter as it expanded raw material sources to fill the recently completed capacity expansion. These process optimization issues are now behind us. The business is operating at its new capacity limit and is successfully increasing market share in a very challenging market. AMG Silicon delivered exceptionally strong first quarter results, aided by its successful risk management program and operational focus. AMG Superalloys continues to optimize its product mix and is increasing production levels of higher value-added vacuum-grade chrome metal, following the successful commissioning of a new AMG Engineering-supplied vacuum furnace. AMG Antimony continued to effectively manage price exposure during the quarter. Q1 2015 antimony metal prices were 25% lower than the first quarter of 2014 and delivered consistent levels of profitability on a euro basis compared with the same period in 2014. The business continues to expand its penetration into higher value-added master batches and increase gross margin percentages. AMG Titanium Alloys and Coatings' first quarter performance met our expectations and is completing the commissioning of the third and final vacuum furnace engineered and supplied by AMG Engineering to support the capacity increases needed to fulfill our long-term titanium aluminide contracts. AMG aluminum earnings declined slightly during the first quarter due primarily to timing of delivery differences on aluminum powders. Despite difficult market conditions and weaker conversion pricing, we expect AMG aluminum to deliver consistent year-over-year results for the full year 2015. AMG tantalum and niobium continue to improve its performance as we deliver on our long-term tantalum concentrate contracts. and reduced costs as a result of the weaker Brazilian real. We continue to focus on operational improvement, primarily increasing recoveries from our tantalum processing plant. Prices for the majority of our critical materials were weak in the first quarter. However, our risk management program and operating focus enabled us to deliver strong first quarter results. AMG Engineering's first quarter 2015 earnings improved year over year and sequentially. The previously announced plan to reduce costs and rationalize a number of underperforming product lines is underway and on course for completion by year end. Year to date, AMG Engineering has reduced staffing by approximately 50 people. We continue to target annualized cost savings of approximately $7 million. AMG Engineering's capital goods business showed substantial improvement during the first quarter 2015 due to higher revenues and lower operating costs. The heat treatment services business continues to deliver consistently strong revenues and margins. The result of our cost reduction measures and our continued recovery of our capital goods business will lead to improved profitability in 2015. I would now like to pass the floor to Dr. Schimmelbusch, AMG's Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Eric. Prices for most of AMG's critical materials products declined during the quarter. AMG has continued to successfully manage price risk by matching raw material costs with end product revenues, which is essential in our business. The combined impact of our ability to manage price risk and our operational improvements resulted in strong financial performance on a constant currency basis. AMG Engineering entered 2015 with a substantially improved order backlog compared to prior year. As a consequence of the improved order backlog and the ongoing efforts to reduce costs, AMG Engineering recorded its highest level of quarterly profitability since the third quarter in 2013. Management remains confident that the engineering business will return to historical sustainable levels of profitability in 2016. In the short term, we expect the unfavorable euro to US dollar exchange rate to adversely impact our reported US dollar earnings. In the medium term and in the long term, the weakening euro improves AMG's cost position on a US dollar basis, improving AMG's competitive position. In regard to our corporate strategy, we are a critical materials company. We will seek to build our core critical materials business through industry consolidation, process innovation, and product development. In this challenging environment, AMG will continue to reduce costs, optimize its product portfolio, and maintain a conservative balance sheet. Despite weakening metal prices and the unfavorable translation impact of foreign currency on reported earnings, AMG expects to generate EBITDA level in line with prior year and improve its return on capital employed. Operator, we would now like to open the line for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take a question from Philippe Depot at ING. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning all. I have three or four questions. First question is on engineering, the engineering department. There was the mentioning of the cost overruns in the first quarter related to long-term projects nearing completion. Could you give us a bit of a feeling what the order of magnitude of these cost overruns was in order to have a bit of a better view what the underlying EBITDA was?
Hi, Philip, it's Amy. The overruns, and just to be clear, so this project we expect to come to completion by the end of June. The overruns were about $1 million in the quarter.
Okay. And then I was a bit confused, Amy. I heard you talk about the $3 million savings, but then later on, when there was mentioning of the restructuring plan in engineering systems, there was the mentioning of $7 million targeted cost savings. So I was wondering if you could help me a bit on these two different numbers.
course. The $3 million represents the purchase price purchasing optimization program. I apologize. So that's one element of our restructuring program, is doing a purchase optimization program. So $3 million of savings is expected to come from that, and $4 million of savings is expected to come from headcount reduction. So that totals the $7 million that was referred to later in the call.
Okay, that's clear. Then a question on the CapEx. So you reiterated guidance for $30 to $35 million for the full year. I think it was only $4 million in the first quarter. Could you give us a bit of a feeling when we should expect the CapEx numbers, or a bit of a timing over the year when we will have the highest CapEx?
It's back end loaded because a good portion of that capital spending is expected with relation to our graphite business, and that is in the early stages right now. So it is back end loaded.
Okay. And on the taxes, so we have more than $5 million P&L taxes in the first quarter. And I think the cash P&L, the cash taxes was something like $500 million. Could you talk a bit more on why we have such a big difference?
It generally relates to deferred taxes, which is, I know, a black box out there in the accounting world. So there's a couple things going on right now. We have some non-deductible interest in certain jurisdictions due to the current profitability within those jurisdictions. So there's a deferred tax expense related to that. The cash taxes will remain low throughout this year, but there are some deferred tax implications that are just running through the balance sheet, quite frankly.
Okay, and then the final question is on the working capital. It's roughly $15 million working capital investment in the first quarter, which is larger than the previous years. Could you talk a bit more what was driving that?
Sure. So, I mean, the biggest portion of the working capital growth, if you want to call it that, was actually payables, of course. We had a reduction in the payables balance in the first quarter. Last year, we were able to offset some of that. That always happens in the first quarter. For AMG specifically, after year end, we always have a bit of an outflow in working capital. It's larger this year because last year we did some specific inventory reduction efforts that obviously you can only continue to reduce inventory so low in these businesses. So there were specific offsetting impacts last year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Frank Klassen at Rabobank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning. Two questions, please. First of all, on the order intake at Engineering Systems, I noticed that the book-to-bill is again below one. Can you elaborate a little bit on the environment? When do you expect it to be above one? How is the environment looking for the order intake? And then secondly, I know we discussed it before, but what is your current view on restarting a dividend? Because your balance sheet will be further strengthened with the sale of the stake in Q2. So, please, some words on that too, please. Thank you.
Sure. I'll answer the engineering question. The order intake in the quarter was in line with our expectations, actually, and we do expect it to improve throughout the year. So we expect it to be above 1x for the whole year, but it is in line with our expectations that it was slightly below 1x for the first quarter.
As regarding dividends, management is planning to install a revised dividend policy, and that dividend policy will be a conventional payout ratio oriented policy, and then the supervisory board and has then to agree to that, and then if all of that is in green territory, we will start to pay dividends hopefully soon.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Dennis Lepadatu from Kempen. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning. I have a couple of questions as well. First of all, on the critical materials side, you aggregated the two divisions into one, and I was wondering what that says about your strategy in mining going forward, and exactly how you are approaching the portfolio of critical raw materials. Is there any change versus what was communicated last year in terms of the metals that you would have a preference to expand in? And secondly, on the engineering side, besides the SG&A cost reduction that is under your control, what gives you confidence that the division will be able to return to more normalized profitability levels next year? What do you see there in terms of end market demand on the longer term, I mean?
The first question, our mining activities are essentially two. As you know, the one is the tantalum mine in Brazil, which is the world's largest conflict-free material mine, and then the graphite mining operations, which are expanding. In order to finance that expansion, we did a financing transaction selling 40% of our graphite business in order to finance expansion. So these are our two mining activities right now, and that was your question, I think.
But I was wondering, and for the remainder of the portfolio, how do you view the strategy? I mean, are you going to continue focusing on providing higher-end solutions in other materials as well, and how long can that continue in terms of improvement versus the current portfolio?
Well, the innovative activities are focused on graphite, on titanium especially, and in titanium on the aerospace sector, in the area of titanium aluminides, where we are the sole supplier presently, and to the industry, mostly selling our highly sophisticated titanium alloys under long-term contracts to the aerospace industry. So I would say the growth-oriented materials are in particular titanium and graphite.
Okay, great.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. Sorry, sir?
There was a question from Dennis about the outlook on AMG Engineering.
Dennis, the outlook on AMG Engineering, we have a very detailed system of recording quotations. So we have about a universe of quotations, which is about 10 times the backlog, and then we analyze that universe, and then we see when quotations are being turned into orders, and that's a judgmental thing. When you look at this universe presently, it has improved vis-a-vis the past, and we believe that that is then translating into order backlog, and that is then translating into earnings in 2016. It's a very detailed process. It's not just a statement. It's a very detailed analysis.
Okay, and could you maybe comment on the areas which are gaining more traction, whether it's aerospace or automotive or...
One area which is new and particularly active is glass, the glass technology. As you know, our vacuum furnaces are not only used in metal, they're used in glass, and we are particularly well positioned in producing glass for for use in consumer electronics, and that is a growing area. We have for the first time sold a fairly large number of furnaces into that area. So that's new.
Okay. Okay.
And you know that is a very competitive area. We are focused on Gorilla Glass as against other glass engineering companies which were less fortunate with other types of glass. So we are very happy about that. Another area, of course, is plasma furnaces. Plasma furnaces are particularly a growth area. In the titanium world, you more and more, as titanium is growing, are confronted with recycling necessities of manufacturing scrap. And in that area, our plasma technology is applicable, and that is another active area related to aerospace.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. We have another question from Philip Ngoto at ABN AMRO. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I have three. Maybe to start on the restructuring charges, could you indicate if you're expecting any further restructuring charges during the year and what the amount would be? Then I have a question on the situation in the U.S. We know the steel market has been there particularly weak. I'm wondering how that is impacting your ferrovanadium business. And also given the fact that the ferrovanadium prices are currently at extremely low levels, 2008 levels again, can you indicate what you see there in the business and what you expect for Q2 and the quarters ahead? Then the last question is again on the Brazilian aluminium market, if you could give an update on that and how the business is progressing in that market.
Sure. I'll answer the question on restructuring. There will be additional restructuring. I think I mentioned that there should be additional restructuring in the rest of the year. We haven't completed our engineering restructuring efforts. We've only gotten about 50% of our way through what we're hoping to do in terms of engineering. So I would expect additional cost of, and it will depend on final. Obviously, we would record the charge if we knew exactly how many people it was going to be, but I would expect something in the range of $3 million, but that's an estimate.
Okay, great. Thanks.
As regards to vanadium, our vanadium business in the United States is very profitable. We are the lowest cost producer in vanadium, according to our statistics, worldwide. So we have four income streams in that business: vanadium, molybdenum, nickel, and fees, recycling fees. It's a very stable business. It is very profitable even at record low vanadium prices. That's the business model, which was carefully constructed over the years. You also should note and not overlook that one of the largest vanadium producers has filed for bankruptcy in South Africa, and that should have a corrective influence on the market. You can read that under Heifeld if you Google it. Heifeld, V-E-L-D.
I'm aware of it.
That's good, because that is a major producer and has, like other major producers, consistently make losses. But we are very happy with our vanadium business. It might be not the record level of last year, but it might be close to that. And the company, there is a slightly lower vanadium price. However, we have increased our production. America is, United States is a net importer of vanadium, and we are the largest domestic supplier. So that business is a winner.
Yeah, and maybe Philip, let me also comment on Brazil aluminum. Our first quarter. I know you're quite focused on the reduction of aluminum capacity in Brazil. Our first quarter sales in Brazil in aluminum were down by $200,000, and our EBITDA was up by $500,000. Obviously, the real makes us extremely competitive, and we have been taking market share in not only Brazil but in other parts of South America. So it's a small positive for us in the first quarter, and I expect that to continue.
Okay. But in terms of just two follow-up questions, maybe on Brazil still, I mean, is there a risk like last year when there were more capacity closures of large aluminium producers there that you might actually have to reduce your capacity as well? Do you see that risk at all in Brazil? And then still maybe on the ferrovanadium business, I understand the whole business case that you made and that you're one of the lower producers, low-cost producers, and that you have a strong market position in the U.S. However, 90% of vanadium goes into the steel, domestic steel market. So with the weakness there, I'm just wondering how the end demand looks like in, or how it has been in Q1 and how what you see in Q2 in terms of volumes as well. I mean, the things on prices, I think that's a big unknown because we also still don't know whether Everest is really filing for bankruptcy, but they're in a restructuring case. So we don't know what the production volumes would do there yet, but I'm just really focused on the U.S. End demand.
Let me comment on both of those, maybe. First of all, in Brazil, I don't see any significant risk, any significant downside risk whatsoever for us. You know, and on the vanadium business in North America, Heinz mentioned that the U.S. steel market production is down about 7% year to date. So there's been some adjustment. However, the demand for vanadium in North America is about 20 million pounds. 50% is supplied by imports. We are today expanding our market share substantially in North America because we're a profitable producer and other companies are losing money. So I think this is actually, you know, low prices are always difficult times. But this is a time when we are exceptionally well positioned in that business. Our recycling model, we've always focused on protecting ourselves on the downside and leaving leverage to the upside when prices go up. So I consider this a time where we will, you know, kind of separate the wheat from the chaff on producers in vanadium, and I think it will be a long-term positive for us.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. We do not appear to have any more questions at this time.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for attending. Thank you.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.